May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, our country is about to have a general election, and I will be really glad when it is finally over. I wonder if you watched the Corbyn-Johnson debate last week on Monday. It all seemed to be about criticising the opponent rather than making a difference to our country. An election is, of course, a process for selecting a new leader, for measuring the character and temperament of two or more individuals. For some, the choice for our Prime Minister in this election will be about their hopes and dreams for our nation. But for too many, the choice will be about picking the lesser of two evils. For those people, neither candidate or party represents their hope for the future. Some will choose a third party candidate, and some will choose not to vote at all. Or, if they vote, they won't vote for the winning candidate. But we, as the electorate, will have spoken. The fact that there is such a divided opinion in our nation shows the fear many have about what kind of Prime Minister or kind of leadership we want to have, and what nation, kind of nation we want to become. I wonder what you think this morning. What kind of leader do we need? Well, this is exactly the question we're faced with on Christ the King Sunday. This is the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday, the church year begins again with the season of Advent as we prepare to celebrate Christmas. But on this Sunday, we look to the end of the time when Christ will come again to bring peace and justice to the world. In a moment, we will be decorating our Advent crown. And a crown is a symbol of authority, a symbol of kingly authority. However, the only crown Jesus ever wore was a crown of thorns placed cruelly on his head as soldiers mocked him. Interestingly, we don't hear about this mentioned in today's Gospel from Luke, but it does give us an important clue about the kingship of Jesus. What sort of king is Jesus? What kind of king do we have? What kind of king do we need? We come to worship on this Sunday and sing great triumphant hymns, and we feel that we should be joyful. But then we hear the reading Rose just read from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is dying on the cross. Well, what's that all about? That doesn't sound like any king we're used to, does it? When Caroline and I were visiting Winchester earlier this year, we visited King Arthur's Round Table. We were impressed by the size and grandeur of it. It looked very special and a good symbol of kingly power here on earth. But to be honest, after reading, I realised that the table was probably an imitation. It was constructed by English oak, but probably dated in the later years of the 13th century. The round tabletop hangs in the Great Hall of Winchester Castle, built under Henry III. And the Great Hall is all that remains of this medieval castle, originally constructed for William the Conqueror in 1067. It must have been a very impressive building, with beautiful things everywhere. The castle was held by royalist forces during the English Civil War, and the fortress finally fell to parliamentary troops in 1646, and Oliver Cromwell ordered its destruction. So it is now only a shadow of what it once was. Not really a place fit for a king anymore. There was an echo of kingship, but it is now gone. This week, we've also heard about the allegations made against Prince Andrew, and it seems he has brought his reputation and the reputation of the royal family into some disrepute. That isn't really royal or kingly behaviour either, is it? But what kind of king was Jesus? By the world standards, he's someone who loses, someone who is a victim, someone who is classified as a criminal. And yet he is Christ our King this Sunday. Luke tells us that Jesus was crucified between two thieves, One cursed Jesus and the other called him a king. Now tradition says that the one who called him a king was named Dismas, the thief crucified on Jesus' right side. His dying confession is one of a great statement of faith in all of the Bible, because he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Here they both were, hanging on crosses, just a few hours from death. By the world's standards, they were losers. What kind of king hangs on a cross? And yet this criminal suffered himself violent pain, was able to see beyond his circumstances and call Jesus a king. The thief on the left was not able to do that. The irony is that the repentant criminal was right. The crucifixion was Jesus' coronation. The cross was his throne. This is how Jesus would rule the world, not through coercion, threat and violence, but through suffering, redemptive love and forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing, says Jesus. Jesus doesn't just hang there and threaten to throw us into hell for our sins. He offers us forgiveness and love. He doesn't respond to violence with more violence. He changes our hearts with love and forgiveness. Now those of you who are parents will understand that you love your children and you want the best for them. You want to protect them from making bad choices. And you can try to control them by fear and threaten to punish them for their misbehaviour. Or you can guide them with love so that they want to follow your guidance. Not because they're afraid of you, but because they love you and want to please you. And this works for other relationships as well, doesn't it? Marriages work best when couples try not to manipulate each other, but serve each other out of love. And business relationships or being good neighbours work best when we genuinely love one another instead of threatening to take one another to court. On this Christ the King Sunday, we follow a king who rules our hearts with love and forgiveness. He calls us to follow him and take up our cross, to renounce the way of power, the way of the world, and violence, and to embrace his way of love and forgiveness. Jesus gave the criminal who understood who he was a great and precious promise. He said, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. There's no waffling here, no maybes. He doesn't say to him, I hope you'll be with me in paradise. He doesn't say, maybe you'll be with me in paradise. He doesn't say, someday you'll be with me. He says, today you will be with me. Jesus gives us that same promise. He extends his grace to you and me. He will remember us in his kingdom. Today you will be with him in paradise because Jesus has given us a taste of heaven. The hungry will eat the bread of life and the thirsty will drink the living water. And when we follow our King and walk in his way, we will experience paradise. This is a leader we can have every confidence in. And the best thing is, we don't even have to vote for him. He comes from love, mercy and forgiveness, and has no manifesto, and all the promises he makes have already been fulfilled. Amen.